6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Greetings, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Ignition. Yes, it is a Trap Chat Alley-Oop Special Edition season opener, home opener. Man, the Raptors took on the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm here with Mikey Charlie. My name is Illicit. How's it going, man? You good? How's the game?
I'm good. I'm downtown right now. I'm just cruising the streets. It's a little bit chilly, but I'm happy. Came away with a victory. I mean, I think pretty much everybody was expecting that. 116-104. Can't complain.
Yeah, man. To be honest, it was a good game. They played really well the first three quarters. The last quarter, I don't know, maybe they were getting tired or whatever, but it wasn't as good as the first three, that's for sure.
Yeah, game one, you know, the Cleveland squad signed one, you know, a certain guy that caused havoc amongst, you know, for the Raptors.
Yeah,
of course. I'm talking about J.R. Smith.
Of course. Well, who else are you talking about?
Yeah, no, of course not. Of course not. You know, there's one guy named LeBron James, you know, but anyways. For the first three quarters, they had a pretty good showing. I liked what I saw from the team, especially Kawhi and Kyle Lowry, you know. Especially Kyle Lowry, actually. I will say that he looks in pretty good form. He's making some good passes. As well, I'm going to shout out JV, too, man. JV held it down. He had a pretty good game. He had shades of Arvydas Sabonis.
Okay.
You saw that baseline no-look pass that he
sent to Adrian Nogi
for the throwdown. Yeah. So overall, I mean, it was a good start to the season. Solid. It wasn't super spectacular, but it was enough to get the job done. Obviously, there's things they need to work out and comfortable, you know, levels of comfort they need to still sort out a little bit. But as a raw unit, you know, especially with obviously Kawhi being the premier player and new to the squad, they're looking good.
Yeah, man. So I'm here with Mikey Charlie. He's usually here in the studio with me, but today, because it's a special day, he's down at the Scotiabank Arena. You know how hard it's going to be for me to start saying the Scotiabank Arena? You know, they did a wide-angle shot in the beginning of the game, and it looked really weird
overview.
Looking at the top of the arena and not seeing the Air Canada leaf. It's crazy.
Yeah, the overhead shot was kind of strange. It actually felt like a different city with two S's on the top.
Almost odd.
Rather than the... Yeah, so it's a little bit different, for sure.
That being said, times change and the roster changes. We didn't get to see Greg Monroe tonight, but I think he already knows what his role is here on the Raptors.
How do you think Kawhi did? He did well. Again, especially in the beginning of the game, I found that he was forcing a little bit. You know, he seems to be still shaking off the rust. You could see that he obviously, you know, wants to get to a rhythm. It took him a little while, but I like what Kyle Lowry did when he had that breakaway layup. But instead of taking the layup, he stopped to make the pass to Kawhi, just to get him into a little bit of a rhythm, a little bit of a flow.
Yeah, that was a good play, because he missed a couple open shots prior to that.
So, like, that thing, it's not, like, technically it's not a good basketball play, because if you have the open layup, you're supposed to make the open layup, but on the grander scheme of things, that was a super intelligent play.
I think it was
so,
just,
kudos to Kyle Lowry for that.
Get his feet wet, you know, a little bit, trying to get you know, Kawhi a bucket, because he had missed a few, so it was about the flow
and that's the leadership quality right there. You know, those are the leadership skills at work for Kyle Lowry, realizing, you know, rather than just getting his teammates into the groove, and that will pay off monumentally as the season progresses.
I think you're right. Lowry had a great game. I picked up Lowry on two of my fantasy teams this year. I'm excited about Kyle Lowry and the way he can he has an opportunity not to just, you know, be an all-star, which he's, you know, been pretty much a perennial all-star now for the Raptors. I'm looking at it as more of a leader, like you just said, a leadership role. It's not just a pass like that. It's just about something, you know, that pass is more than just getting Kawhi involved. It's about knowing your teammates and understanding what it takes to get the best out of them. And I think if Kyle Lowry can take that next step, I think, watch out, man. This team is going to be so good.
And also, don't forget about the leader of the second unit, Fred VanVleet. He also had a really good game. He's following in the same footsteps, you know? The very similar mold he's coming in with, you know? Moving forward, the leadership for the Raptors is looking good.
Cool.
Obviously, DeLon Wright was injured for tonight's game, but I want to see how he kind of works in with this group as well.
You know, Danny Green made mention the other day that this is the deepest team he has ever played on. So when look at DeLon Wright going down and, you know, they have VanVleet, and, you know, when the third point guard is, you know, not accessible, let's say, there's guys like Siakam who have stepped up and, you know, played a bit of the point forward role. What did you think about Siakam's role tonight?
Well, Siakam, I love Siakam. I'm a huge Siakam fan. He has so much potential. Even in this game, I think you saw a lot of his various skills on display, and his shot is even looking better this season so far. Obviously, it's just one game in, but if he can consistently knock down that three, especially when open, he's going to spread the floor that much more for the Raptors, as well as open up his own game.
Agreed.
So Siakam just needs to keep doing what he's doing, keep bringing that energy. He's a disruptor. His energy disrupts plays. He gets extra rebounds for the team, not necessarily just for himself.
Yeah.
But as long as he plays with that high motor and continues along his path of development, he's going to be a problem in the future for Raptors opponents.
I absolutely agree. Somewhere in the broadcast, someone said that you could look out for Pascal Siakam in being the sixth man of the year. And I could see it. Maybe, I don't know, man. Or maybe, no, you know what? I think I quoted wrong. I think he said the most improved player of the year. And that's possible, brother. I legitimately could see that, you know?
See, the thing is with Nick Nurse's plans for switching lineups, it's actually going to be interesting to see how all that type of stuff unfolds. Especially with the sixth man of the year, because you have to obviously come off the bench for a certain amount of games. So, obviously, for VanVleet, I'm pretty sure he'll be safe in that range as Lowry's the starter, unless
I agree
something drastic happens. But for, you know, someone like Siakam, who's going to be most likely in and out of the starting lineup, although he might have, you know, he might put up numbers to be eligible for that, but the amount of games that he starts versus coming off the bench obviously remains to be seen, but he may not even qualify for that.
Yeah, fair enough. I hear you. So, looking ahead a bit, because that was a great win, but let's look ahead, because we have 3 games in 4 nights. Coming up, we play a pretty good game. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. The Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics are the elite teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, no doubt.
So
I don't know. Recently, over the last week, I was hearing people talking about Philly, even having the audacity to put Philly ahead of Toronto.
Come on, man.
But,
not real. Let's be
and
honest.
even the argument of people putting Boston like so clearly ahead of the Raptors, I completely disagree with. They're about, in my opinion, they're about on par. Obviously, you know, give or take, depending on how some of the players. The new additions for both teams, you know,
they pan out
for the team.
You know, the problem that I see with Boston, and maybe it's not a problem, I don't know, is that they have a lot of scorers on that team, and I don't know if there's enough ball to go around. Honestly, I feel like the Raptors are a much deeper team. I think that they're more dominant down low. Like, who does Boston have? Baines? Come on.
The Raptors can play. They have the personnel to play all types of different styles. They can play big. They can play small, inside, outside. They're a very versatile team, the Raptors. With the Celtics, like, I agree with you. There's a lot of guys. Remember, Kyrie was out for pretty much half of the season, or at least the back half of the season. Gordon Hayward missed all but 5 minutes of the season. In his presence, in his absence, I should say. Jason Tatum stepped up. You know, they have other guys, Brown and whatnot. But, as you're saying, it'll be interesting to see them all at the same time competing for minutes. Who plays when? Is everyone going to be happy with their roles on that team? You know, so
Kyrie
there's still a lot of question marks.
Look, they're going to be a great team. There's no question. I don't think that they're better than the Raptors. And it's not maybe that if you look at their top five guys and you match them up against the top five of the Raptors, maybe they look better. I don't know. But when you look at the top 13 guys, there's no comparison. Like, Toronto is so much deeper. There's no fall off when anybody comes off the second unit, on for the second unit.
It is true, but remember, you have to factor in their coach. Their coach, Brad Stevens, he's a
brilliant
man, mastermind coach.
Agreed.
So,
I think Brad Stevens
can definitely make up for a lot of. Yeah, new age Popovich. He makes up for a lot of shortcomings in previous seasons when the team wasn't as talented. He still found a way to get probably even more than what was expected of that team.
Agreed.
So you can't undervalue that. In the same breath, though, with our new coach, Nick Nurse, we don't know what to expect. He might be on that same level of no mastermind. He seems to have a solid direction for the team. He's been saying all the right things up until this point. Game one, what he's been doing, what he did in game one was obviously good enough for the win.
Absolutely.
Analyzing it, I think I liked it. So, obviously that's something we'll be monitoring as the season progresses. But Nick Nurse could be, we don't know what Nick Nurse is going to become as a coach. So he might be on that same level too.
I hear you. We're, having a Trap Chat Alley-Oop, a special edition. Mikey Charlie's down at the Scotiabank Arena. Game one of the new season. Maybe probably the most anticipated Raptors season in franchise history. What do you think about that? You agree?
For sure. Undoubtedly. I mean, I think for the Raptors, the past 5 seasons has been the most anticipated. Obviously, they're trying to build on prior successes. But obviously what cleans the pot this year is the acquisition of Kawhi Leonard, who is the top three player. Depending on who you ask, top three, top five, top ten. In my opinion, top three player in the league.
Agreed.
So, that obviously changes the playing field for the Raptors. A little bit higher expectations, at least in town. Obviously, American media has different takes and different things on things.
Come on. I
feel confident in our chances.
I saw a play happen today where Kawhi didn't get the call. And I laughed and I said, you know what, Kawhi? Get used to it. You're not going to get same calls you got in San Antonio when you're a Raptor. It's not real. And we all know the NBA.
Yeah, he's in the North now.
It's almost a conspiracy, I think.
Seems like it at times.
So, did you get a chance to talk to any fans?
Which, though. No, I got down here kind of late as the game was ending. It's pretty chilly, so people were making their way, back to their cars or wherever they have to go.
How was the attitude?
But everyone seemed pretty happy. It's funny, as I was approaching the arena, there's a lot of people already heading to the exit, and like, that's not necessarily an abnormal thing, but I just don't understand. Fans, why do you leave the game before the game is finished, and especially when the outcome is still in question?
I believe it's like a seven, eight point lead.
But anything can happen.
Anything
can happen in a basketball game. Although,
At the end of the day, anything can happen. But I think the main reason that people do that is they want to beat the traffic. Downtown Toronto traffic is freaking terrible, man.
I understand, but for me, I guess I take the game in a different way, and I just like to be able to applaud the team at the end of the game.
I agree.
Really see the team finish off, make sure like everything's said and done. I remember there was a game that I went to, and a lot of people were already leaving. I was in the stand, and the game seemed to already have been wrapped up, and the Raptors were actually losing. They were probably down maybe like towards 8 points. And the Raptors came back and tied it up, brought it to overtime, and then they ended up winning the game in overtime. But that just goes to show you. And it happens the other way, too. But this goes to show you, like, it's never over till it's over.
I hear you. And you know, another way to look at it is, you know, if you pay, you know, $100, let's say, for a ticket on average, I don't know what they cost anymore, but let's say $100. If you spend $100 on a ticket to go to a concert, are you going to leave before the final song?
Not me.
Why would you?
Well, unless it's an act that I don't really care for, which I don't know why I would buy the ticket in that case.
But I'm trying to tell you, you spent $100 on a ticket.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean,
everyone has their own reasons, but for me personally, I stay till the end. Unless it's like some ridiculous like 50-point blowout where the Raptors are on the lower side.
I hear you.
You know, I'm saying that enjoy every moment of what we're gonna see this year, this season in. With the Raptors, and also that's what my advice to fans.
I agree, because you don't know how it plays out at the end of the season. There's a lot of speculation, obviously, of Leonard leaving, and we'll see. Well, I'm not even going to talk about that, but the point is very valid here, and that's enjoy what's happening right now, because in the 25 plus year franchise history, it has never been like this, man. It's never. We have never had a chance to really make it to the finals. We were saying earlier today, it's NBA finals or bust, right? Like, we need this one.
Yeah. Yeah. This year, I mean, last year we thought it could have been the year, but obviously things turned out differently. And this year, we're hoping for better things. It's funny, I was talking to one of my colleagues at work yesterday, and he's kind of sour from the Toronto sports team just because the nature of Toronto team, bringing everybody's hopes up just to let them down. And I can see that. I can't blame him.
Yeah.
But you just have to have that faith, especially this year. Just there's so much to look forward to with these Raptors that I cannot not watch and cheer them on and look forward to them making the finals.
So. Maybe not this week, but maybe we'll try and find a couple clips for Jack It Up for next week. There was a thing Jack was talking about. I'm not sure if you heard it during the broadcast or you might have missed it in transit. But he talked about the Kaepernick situation. And, whenever Jack speaks, the man is really intelligent, eh? He just gets it.
Yes, he is.
You know what I'm saying? So look out for some Jack It Up segments in the near future.
Yeah, it's one of our new segments on Trap Chat Alley. We have another segment. It was, we kind of had it in the previous seasons, but it wasn't official. But this season, we have a segment called What the Ref, which is where we look at referee calls, specifically blown calls, because Raptors fans know.
As I was saying, Kawhi Leonard had one of those calls today, for sure. Non-calls. He looked at the ref like, really, buddy?
Yeah.
Like, really? Really?
Yeah.
And it's going to happen a lot.
Yeah, we're going to have to acclimate Kawhi to the situation here in Toronto.
I think he's the perfect guy to get past some of that crap. He's not one to complain. He don't cry. He just plays the game, and he plays it right,
And he even said when he was asked what he misses about the game, he went on a little bit of a spiel. He said everything, and he included bad referee calls as part of what he misses of the game. So that goes to show you, you know, he's really passionate about the game. He realizes that these things will happen, and that's part of the game. That's just what it is. He doesn't get too caught up in it, like, you know, certain other players end up getting texts and all that type of stuff. But, you know, he's so engaged. So even today, if I'm engaging with referees on a few calls, just trying to figure out where exactly the call came from, see the tape.
How'd your fantasy team do?
Tonight?
Yeah.
From what I've been seeing, I mean, there's still some games in progress, but what I've been seeing, decent.
Not bad.
Decent. Again, for those who don't know, my draft was not very good. I got disconnected during the draft, which is like the worst thing that could happen. But the auto draft picks from my team weren't the worst. They weren't the best, but they weren't the worst. So I have a workable team. I'm going to have to do a lot of GM work to get it to a point where it's really in contention. But with that said, you know, I have some nice people on the team. And
nice.
I did take a quick look at some of the stats of the players that are playing tonight and doing okay.
And I looked at our Trap Chat team as well, and, you know, we're doing all right. We were up. I can't remember what it is exactly, but we were up, so... Good on us. Every fantasy team that I picked, the team right now is up. So let's hope it stays that way for the rest of the week.
Yeah. All right.
And then one more game in the upcoming week on Saturday. They play Washington.
Yeah.
Is John Wall going to be the same kind of player?
John Wall. Every year it seems like John Wall, at the beginning of the year, everyone's trying to figure out what he's going to be or what he's going to contribute to his team. He's been very vocal about who he had surrounding him over the last couple of seasons. Management made a few changes this season, so the team in itself is one thing, but then John Wall, I think he's still going to be an all-star for sure. He wants to prove to everybody that he's an elite level player. So he has that chip on his shoulder that he's working with. But I don't know how much more of an upside he has compared to what we've already seen.
That's my concern. That's why I asked the question.
So do I see, like, Washington making major strides this season? Not really. I don't think they change enough to really move, you know, their positioning within the Eastern Conference.
So talk a bit about, we talked a bit about how we thought that the Raptors in Boston are ahead of everyone else in the East. Talk about the next, you know, tier teams like Milwaukee, Philly. Who else makes the playoffs in the East?
Okay, well, Philly's still young. They have a lot of talent, but they're a very young team. After the opening game, this is actually the tip-off game for the whole NBA season. Philly versus Boston, and Boston pretty much smashed Philly. And Embiid had one of those incredible sound bites that he comes with. And he basically said that they always, pretty much, there's no real rivalry between the Celtics and the Sixers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that alone, as funny as that sound bite was, that alone kind of shows you the disparity between those two teams.
Agreed. So this has been a special Trap Chat alley-oop. Mikey Charlie's live from the Scotiabank Arena, formerly the Air Canada Center. This has been a blast, but we're going to have to do more.
Now the SBA.
Yeah. We're going to have to do some more.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
My name is Elicit. This is Trap Chat alley-oop. And, you know, we do this every week. You know?
Remember.
Yes. Don't forget.
And remember, we are now, and we are now on Spotify. So find us on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Anywhere you check your podcast, you're there. Just search TCAO. Subscribe, listen, and tell somebody to tell somebody.
That's right. So Trap Chat alley-oop, I'm Elicit. He's Mikey Charlie's. Yo, we're doing this again next week, so
you know what it is.
Make sure what we, you know, you listen in, tune in. You know what it is. Trap Chat Alley-Oop for fans.
95.
Yes.
For better.
For worse.
Worse forever.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.